break every chain, 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 Lord, break every chain, 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 break every chain.
Our God is good, right? Yeah, He is. Our God is good. Praise Jesus.
He's come.
Our God is a lamb, the lamb that kingdoms will bow down.
Praise
Jesus. Amen.
Praise you, Jesus.
Every knee. Every knee.
Your name,
the mountains shake and crumble. At your name, the oceans roar and tumble. At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry. Shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord.
Let's do verse one again.
At your name, the mountains shake and crumble. At your name,
lift them up.
Oceans roar and tumble.
Let's worship God. Lift him up.
At your name, angels will bow. The earth will rejoice. Your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name.
Shout your name, oh Lord.
Awesome.
shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord.
One more time.
Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord.
Just our voices.
Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God.
I am the Lord. Father God, that we can find you in the stillness of life when we seek you. Father, in this chaotic world where things just race on by and we don't feel we have enough time, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us when we don't make the time to spend with you. We always say we're going to find the time, but Lord, I know I have to make the time. Lord, help me make the time. Help me make the time to spend with you and be still with you and lay at your feet. We need you. Especially in the time we're living in, Lord, we need you. Mm-hmm. Lord, help us to be light and salt. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your love. Thank you for every word you're going to speak to us today. Help us to carry it with us and keep us in strength through the week and to stand on your word when we're feeling like we can't get through. Help us remember to go to your word and redefine ourselves. We praise you, Jesus. We lift your name on high because there is no other name with more power than the name of Jesus. Right. Jesus, we love you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Amen.
That was good worship, amen? Yeah. We shout the name of the Lord, Yahweh. He is the Lord, right? He is the King. He is the only one who can redeem. He's the only one who can forgive. He's the only one who can make my life and your life so it's on a straight path again, amen? Yahweh, Yahweh. That's He's the only way, right? That's the name for God in the Old Testament, Yahweh. He's the Lord. He is a sovereign God. That's what that means. He's in control. He holds us in the palm of his hands. And I just want you to know this morning that God intends for you to be here. And God's got a plan for you. He's got something to say to you. You're not going to leave here today, if you're at least not if you're open to him. If you want to receive something from God, I can assure you that God's got something for you to receive. God's got something for you to have. Amen? Last Sunday, we were privileged to be in Abbotsford, and we spent some time with a couple of our grandkids, or four grandkids, and two of our sons that live in Abbotsford with their families. And we went to church there like we do to my son's church. And they do what we often do. They walk around and they shake hands, and we're going to do that again in a couple seconds. But I want to just preface it with these comments. So they did that. They walked around. They shook everyone's hands. But no one shook my hand again. Like, this has happened before. They actually literally had people with my son and daughter-in-law would be sitting there, and I'd be sitting there with Crystal. They literally would shake my son's hand and my daughter-in-law's hand, and they'd look at me, and then they'd go. And I don't know what the deal was. I don't know what the deal was. But, you know, it just hit me, though. The reality is, it is, and we see this sometimes at the kitchen, too. We like to hang around with each other. It's hard to go sit with other people that we don't know very well. And we just, I felt invisible. That's how I felt. I just felt like I wasn't there. I was invisible. This morning, you are not going to be invisible. You cannot come to this church and be invisible. You, and even if you want to, I'm sorry, you're in the wrong place. You need to go to a way bigger church. So we want to welcome you. I want you to find someone you don't normally shake hands with. And if you're thinking about, if you don't know what to say to them this. Just say, you know what? God's going to touch you today. God's got something to say to you today. Let's make sure there's no invisible people here today. Let's stand up. Let's shake a few hands and welcome each other.
Sneak by you and get this fella.
Mary.
Hey, I'm Stan.
Mike Weinches.
I'm your neighbor, yeah. Cool. Hey, that's cool. That's great, Mike. That's great. I know your grandpa.
You probably know his dad, too.
I know your dad. Which is his dad?
Bill.
I know Bill, yeah. Yeah. Good to see you, Mike. Yeah.
Morning, Stan.
Good morning, Pam.
This is good, right?
Okay, is there anyone who still feels invisible? Okay. Now you can find a place to sit. Now we know each other. Now we can really worship together. All right. In a few moments, Ruth Ann's going to share her testimony, and it's going to be awesome. We're just looking forward to hear what God does and to be reminded that God does. You know, God's a God who acts. He's a God who moves. He's a God who changes. He's a God who forgives. He's a God who gives second chances. How many believe that God's a God who gives second chances? How about third chances? Anyone who believes in a third chance? Anyone here who's ever needed a third chance? All right. You're all in the right place then. And it's not just a third chance, right? He says, boy, I think I got you started here. He says that his love is an enduring love and that he forgives over and over and over again. And he says that, and I love this part, that he doesn't keep a record of my sins. Can you shout to the Lord for that?
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Yahweh! He doesn't keep a record of our sins. He doesn't, you know how it is sometimes when you've had a problem with someone or you think you've forgiven someone, maybe it's a husband or maybe it's your father or maybe it's your boss or someone, and you think you've forgiven them and you move on, but then you got another conflict and you go right back to that same old stuff. You go, yeah, but you remember, you did this, you did that. Oh, you didn't really forgive him, right? But God does not keep a record. And that's really good news. So today, if you're beating yourself up because of what you did, if you're feeling lots of shame and you're hard on yourself, I want to tell you something. You are not as bad as you think you are. You are far worse. You are. You're way worse than you think you are. And some of you are going, that's right, I'm not as bad. No, you're way, way worse. Way worse. But God's grace is sufficient. Amen? And it doesn't matter how worse you are. God's grace and his love for you is always enough. And you're in the right place today because every one of us who comes to this place, we're people, we struggle, we have hard things, we come out of brokenness. Yeah, we walk sometimes with a limp, we say. That's one of the things we talk about. You know, we walk with a limp. But that's okay because God carried us along. And I just want to, before I ask Ruth Ann to come up, just one, you know, when you think about that, he keeps no record of our sins. Listen to what Psalm 56 says. He says, record my lament, which is, it means my cry, God. Record this. Keep a record of this. Record my lament. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Are my tears not in your record? And just the idea that even though God is really bad at counting my sins, he doesn't remember my sins. He's not a good mathematician when it comes to my sins. He does remember my tears. And that's what the psalmist says. So today, I want you to know that too. God wants you to know this. He knows you're crying. He knows the hard things. He knows that maybe you're even here today going, I don't even know why I'm here, except that I'm so lost. God counts your tears. He keeps a record of them. He must be an incredible mathematician. He knows the pain. He knows your disappointment. He knows you're disappointed with yourself. He knows everything. And he's seen every tear, and he's kept a record of them. And he, and get this, like us, he is looking forward to the day when there will be no more tears. That day's coming. There'll be no more tears. There aren't going to be any more 13-year-old girls out on the streets prostituting themselves. There's going to be no more crack or meth or opium or heroin or any of that stuff. There's going to be none of that. No more brokenness. No more death. No more cancer. He looks forward to that day, too. It's coming. It's coming soon. Yep. Ruth Ann, you want to come up? I want to pray for you, and we got just excited to hear. Let's pray together. Thank you, God, that you are a God of joy and a God who you understand our tears, but you're a God of wholeness. That you're a God of shalom. You bring peace into our lives. I know that Ruth Ann has cried many tears, like we all have. Thank you that you've recorded every one of them. Thank you that you're in the business of restoring and that you have restored and you continue to restore Ruth Ann's life. And we give you all the glory today as we listen to her story about how you have delivered her and redeemed her life from the pit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can give God a big hand.
Good morning. Praise God. That's exactly what I want to do this morning is give him glory. Because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here right now. I tried really hard to write this all out and get prepared for this over the last couple weeks, and every time I did, I felt like I was writing a book, so I stopped. And I'm just praying that God will give me the words this morning, because I know the story. I was there. And I want to give him glory for what he's done. I was very blessed to grow up in a Christian home and have a prayer warrior as a mother, a pastor as a father, and know God's word very well. And in spite of that, I went through a lot of rebellion and pain, and I was bullied very badly as a child. By the time I was 10, I had an ulcer, and I was told that, or my mother was told that she should take me out of school or I would be put into a hospital and have a complete nervous breakdown. That caused a lot of insecurity, a lot of shame, not thinking very much of myself, wanting a lot of attention that I didn't know how to get and probably went about the wrong way of getting it when I came into my teens. I will try. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7 that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And I didn't think much of myself. I was told that I was ugly and stupid, and when you're told that enough, you start to believe it. I wanted desperately to be loved unconditionally, to be accepted. And as I got into further into my teens and started getting into all of the things that all the bad kids were doing because I wanted to be accepted and part of something, and started doing a lot of things that I'm ashamed of, but you know, God is good, and he had his hand on me the whole time. By the time I was 17, I was pregnant with my son, and I was so excited. Even at that age, I thought, you know, this is my chance to have that unconditional love and to give that love and to be a mom. And it was a big blessing in my life. But it's really hard to give love when you don't know how to love yourself. And I made a lot of mistakes, even with him. I went through... I went through a lot of depression and a lot of meds for that, and trying to do whatever I could to be the mom that I wanted to be and be the wife that I wanted to be. And sometimes I'd do okay, and other times it would just fall flat. And I could barely get out of bed. I could barely look after myself, let alone my son. And I always cried out to Jesus. And every time I did, he would come and pick me up and dust me off and love on me, even when I didn't deserve it, let alone not feeling like I didn't deserve it. I really did not deserve it. But his grace is beyond compare. And when I would fall, each time I'd fall, it seemed like I would go deeper. And I got into a lot of relationships that weren't good for me, a lot of drugs that really took me out, brought me to almost nothing. Several times I almost died. I got to a point, back up a little bit, when I was 27, I had a pinched nerve trapped in my appendix scar. And the doctors had me on a lot of medication, morphine and Demerol and a bunch of stuff. And they were telling me there was nothing they could do for me. They were saying that I would have to live my life that way. And through the depression and the addiction to the medication and the drugs that I was taking, I couldn't live that way. I could not do anything with my son. He spent most of his time with my mother. And I felt useless. I felt worthless. And I tried to commit suicide. I took 42 of my son's Tegretol tablets. It's an anti-seizure drug. I took them at 11 o'clock at night, and I left a note. And I wasn't found until 7 o'clock in the morning. They took me to the hospital. I was on life support for 4 days. The doctors told my family that they better get the rest of my family down because there was no way I was coming out of this. I have a praying family. Thank God. The Bible also says that the prayers of a righteous avail much. And so if it wasn't for my family's prayers and my friends, again, I wouldn't be here. But I am. God's got bigger plans. I was pretty angry when I came to, because I really didn't want to be here. I thought I had done a good job, but I guess, like I said, God's got bigger plans. But I spent the next few years, again, in and out of depression, and in and off, on and off drugs, and in and out of bad relationships. And then I got into the crack really badly. And I spent 4 years, night and day, using. I went down to 95 pounds, I think. There was nothing left of me. I even had my brother come and look for me sometimes to make sure I was still alive. And I didn't want to live then either. I didn't. I was done. I couldn't see myself continuing on a life that I couldn't seem to live for him, because that's all I really wanted to do. Ever since I was a child, I loved the Lord with all of my heart. And I just wanted to serve him. I knew who he was. And the deeper I fell, every time I felt like I'd let my best friend down. And I felt like I couldn't be who God called me to be. So what was the point of going on? Ended up going to recovery, a Christian recovery home in Kelowna, and spending, it was a year-long program, and I was there for 10 months, but God did a number on me there, too. I finally was able to surrender to him once again and say, God, you know, I can't do this without you. And if I'm going to live, then I need you to be there. And he was. Somehow, once again, though, I fell again. And, you know, it gets really, really hard to keep asking for forgiveness for the same things. It gets really discouraging, and the enemy is so real, and he tells you that you think God's going to forgive you again. You know better. You were raised with this stuff. This isn't new to you. But I'll tell you, his forgiveness is 7 times 70. And his grace is beyond compare. How many times he has picked me up. Man, I can't even count anymore. So, then recently here, well, I guess it was about 5 years ago, I moved back to Red Deer after I left Kelowna and came back, and I once again hooked up with somebody who probably wasn't very good for me, and wound up back in drugs really heavily again, started using heroin and morphine and all kinds of neat stuff, and putting a needle in my arm, and gone further than I ever thought that I would, crossed lines that I swore I would never cross. And I didn't know how to cry out anymore. I didn't know how to look at God anymore. He was the only one that mattered to me, but I didn't know how to reach out. I didn't think that he would come and pick me up again, not after everything that I had done and everything that he had already done for me. And I did try, though. I tried to. I got, after about 4 years of using heavily, I decided that I'd had enough, and I tried to get off the needle, and I went on to a morphine wean down program through my doctor, and they started me out at 500 milligrams, and I went down to 60 milligrams over a year and a half, and I stuck to that program. It was very important to me, and I was crying out, and I was coming to church, and I was serving the Lord, and I was doing what I could, and I had gone and gotten prayer and asked for prayer. I'd gone and cleaned out my apartment, actually. Thank you, Robin. She came in with me and cleaned everything out of my apartment, and we threw it all away, and I believed, and I did everything that I could, but it didn't work. Nothing seemed to work, and I was lost again. And then I had a friend of mine from my apartment come and see me one night, and he was fighting with his girlfriend, and he sat with me for a few minutes, and he was very stressed out and didn't want to go back to his place because he was worried that it would go into and get into a physical fight. And so I told him, you know what, man, just crash on my bed. Just have a sleep. Don't worry about it. You can deal with it in the morning. When I woke up in the morning, he was dead. He had OD'd. He didn't use in my apartment. I didn't know. I swore up and down that it could not have been an OD. I thought maybe he had a heart attack or something, but I found out later that he had done a major before he came to my place, and that devastated me. That the trauma of that was beyond what I could take. I lost my place, and I went downhill really badly. But a few months into that deep depression that I was in and that lost feeling once again, beyond anything that I had experienced in the past, I started crying out from the depths of my soul. I said, God, no matter what I am doing, you are God, and nothing I do can change that. Not that I want to change that, but it doesn't matter. You're always going to be God, no matter what. Number two, I'm in the palm of your hand, and nothing can take me from there. Number three, and this was the hard one to believe, but I said it out loud anyways. I said, I am your righteousness through Jesus Christ. I didn't know how to believe that. I really didn't. I couldn't see it, but I just started saying it. Whenever I thought about it, every day, maybe once, sometimes twice, I would say it out loud. There's power in our words. There is something about speaking things out loud that works, and it works both ways. If you spend your life telling yourself that you're nothing, you're going to be nothing. If you spend your life believing that you're stupid and ugly, and that's all you're ever going to get, then that's all you're ever going to get. But if you spend your time telling God how good he is and how much you are his righteousness, because that's what his word says, whether you see it or not, because I'll tell you, I felt like a gutter rat, and I could not see it, and I said it anyways. 3 weeks later, this is amazing. 3 weeks later, I was sitting on the edge of my bed. Actually, go back a couple days. I had gone in to pick up, to do my weekly meet with my doctor, and he noticed the marks on my arms, and he cut me off of my medication. And I had, like I said, I was down to 60 milligrams a day. I had come down quite far and done really well, but I wasn't finished, and I was still struggling, and I wasn't sure how I was going to deal with it. So I went home, and within a couple days, I was very sick. So I sat on the edge of my bed. I said, God, I've got a choice. I can either go and get a pill, and I can keep doing this, and now I'm going to have to pay for it. Or I can go and get prayer. And I chose to go and get prayer. I was, I'll tell you, I don't know if you know what it's like. You probably don't know what it's like to be dope sick, but I was throwing up, and I was extremely just a mess, shaking, crawling inside. And somehow I made it down to Potter's Hands kitchen. And I was looking for Gertie. And I walked in the door, and she was there, but she was busy talking to somebody. And I saw another friend of mine, Garth, and he was sitting there. And I could tell on the look by the look on his face that he was serving the Lord. I could see the glory of God on his face, and I knew that something was good with him. And I'd seen it there before with him. He was kind of like me, been in and out, and on and off. And I thought, yeah, I'm gonna go talk to him. And God must have had this all planned out, because there was a chair sitting beside him, and it was open. And I had gotten in the lineup to see if, you know, to try to maybe eat something if I could. I hadn't eaten in a couple days. And I went through the lineup, and I kept looking at that chair. And I thought, yeah, if it's still open when I get my food, I'm going to go and sit there. And sure enough, about 10 minutes later, it was still open. And that doesn't happen very often in Potter's Hands. Kitchen, I mean. So I went and sat down beside him, and he was sitting with who turned out to be his roommate, Derek. And I'd never met Derek, didn't know him from Adam. And Derek looked at me, he said, "What's your name?" I said, "Ruth Ann." He goes, "Hi, I'm Derek. Can I pray for you?" And I just looked at him. I started laughing. I couldn't help it. He could have never known I came down there for prayer. And I said, "Yeah, please do. That's what I came for." And he stood up. He put his hand on my shoulder. Garth put his hand on my arm. And they started praying. I was so weak, I couldn't even lift my hands. I wanted to lift my hands, and I couldn't. I just placed them on the table, open. And I just said, "God, help me. I need you now." The next thing I knew, all three of us were speaking in tongues, and the glory of God hit me in such a strong way. I just started to weep right there. I couldn't control it. It just, and I knew something had happened. I knew God had done something. I didn't know what, but I knew something was changed. After supper, we went to Hope Mission for prayer meeting Tuesday nights. And I sat in there, and Garth came to me, and he had to leave. So he said, "Ruth Ann," he said, "in Jesus' name," he said, "your back is healed." Sorry, I had a back issue as well. I was in a motorcycle accident, and I was on a cane, and I had sciatic nerve problems really badly. And at that time when he said that to me, I thought, yeah, okay, I think I've got enough for one day. Let's just deal with this one first. And I didn't think much of it. He said, "But in a week, you're going to be dancing." Okay. So as that week went on, I noticed that I wasn't sick anymore. I was getting stronger. I had no cravings to use. I didn't have to fight. Nothing. It was gone. God had completely delivered me in that moment. The following weekend was Robin and Chad's wedding, and they have video of me dancing. I have not been on my cane since then. God is so good, man. And there's something about being able to take your thoughts captive and replacing them with the truth. God's truth, not our truth. Taking the word of God and memorizing it so we can speak it out loud and tell the devil where to go. There's power in it. And I just praise God for all that he's done. I am completely blown away every day how far he's brought me. I still, it's been 6 months now, just over. And I get up every morning and I say, "Thank you, God." And I get on my knees and I praise him. And I ask him to walk with me each day. I'm just so, so grateful for what God's done and what he's doing. It's not that I don't have days where depression tries to come in or where I don't feel discouraged, but I just turn and I say, "God, you are God no matter what. I am in the palm of your hand no matter what. and I am your righteousness through Jesus Christ. And there's a joy that comes with that. So I just encourage you when you're battling, no matter what it is, like Robin said earlier, whether it's something big or whether it's something small, it doesn't matter. He wants you to come to him with it, no matter what it is, and praise him in spite of. Just praise him and say, God, you are my God, and you love me. Tell him all of the things. Remember the things that he's done for you in the past, and just let him know that you're going to walk with him and that you're going to just love him in spite of everything that you're going through. And as you, when you first start to do that, God comes, man, and he meets you in such a big way that is beyond your imagination. So I just encourage you in that. And I thank God for all that he's done. Thank you.
Okay, that's encouraging. Jesus. Thank you, God. Amen.
Here to
Okay. Thanks, Matthias. Okay. Matthias, you've got one or two more minutes because we have a bunch of stuff that we need to keep doing, okay? And I appreciate your word, and I think that it's a good word to hear, so just be brief, okay?
I wasn't in mental hospital a while ago,
so while you're doing that, can Joyce and Anita and Crystal, would you come up? Because we're going to pray for Ruth. Is that okay?
Ruth Ann.
No, you know what, Sonny? We got too many things going on right now, so I'll get to you in 1 minute. Let's finish one thing at a time. Go ahead, Matthias.
The last letter in Revelation to the Church of Laodicea, I never read it the way I was supposed to read it until one day God showed it to me.
How much are you going to read?
I'm going to read from 14 until the end of Revelation 3. Okay. See, I always thought this was about everybody else. But now I know better. So Jesus spoke to me. He said, I know you inside and out, Matthias. And I find little to my liking, Matthias. You're not cold, Matthias. You're not hot, Matthias. Far better to be either cold or hot. You're still, Matthias. You're stagnant, Matthias. You make me want to vomit, Matthias. See, the people of Laodicea, there was an aqueduct there that the Romans built. Only theirs was really long. So by the time the water got into the city, it wasn't cold anymore. It was lukewarm. So these people that got that letter, they had the context around it. So it must have hit them hard. It hit me hard, too. You make me want to vomit, Matthias. You brag, I'm rich, Matthias. I've got it made, Matthias. I need nothing from anyone, Matthias. Oblivious that, in fact, you're a pitiful, blind beggar, threadbare, and homeless. Here's what I want you to do, Matthias. Buy your gold from me. Gold that's been through the refiner's fire. Then you'll be rich. Buy your clothes from me, clothes designed in heaven. You've gone around half naked long enough. And buy medicine for your eyes from me so you can see, really see. The people I love, I call to account. Prod and correct and guide so that they'll live at their best. Up your feet then, about face, run after God. Look at me. I stand at the door. I knock. If you hear me call, Matthias, and open the door, I'll come right in and sit down to supper with you. Conquerors will sit alongside me at the head table, just as I, having conquered, took the place of honor at the side of my father. That's my gift to the conquerors, Matthias. Are your ears awake? Listen. Listen to the wind words, the spirit blowing through the churches.
Okay. You know what? We're going to say thank you for that, for this point, all right? I appreciate that. We've tried to respect you and give you as much time as we could. Let's thank God for his word. Just, we'll get to you in a second. Just so you know, we believe very much what it says in Revelation, that any prophetic word should be encouraging, comforting, or encouraging or edifying. So that's whenever we're in public meetings, and I believe that this has been encouraging and comforting and edifying. Because otherwise it gets kind of scary. People can stand up and say whatever they want to say. And that's a good word from the scripture, reminding us that God loves us. I love that part of what he says to the Laodiceans. And that we need to be neither hot nor cold. We need to be hot, not middle of the road, right? Anyways, I really felt when you spoke, Ruth Ann, that we need to pray for you because I believe that you're going back into battle again. And what you said is something that encourages, I think, a lot of us as we come out of addiction or you know, people saying you're ugly and stupid. Well, I want to tell you something. You're not ugly or stupid. You're beautiful and you're smart. And I also want to, I've done this to you personally, but I want to do it publicly too, that I repent before you. Because I know that I judged you. I know that I didn't show you mercy sometimes. I know that I didn't believe you and I was wrong and I'm learning. So I'm glad you bear with me. It's not always easy. I was wrong. I sinned against you. And I thank you that you've forgiven me. And I'm trying to learn to show mercy where inside I'm rolling my eyes. I got to stop rolling my eyes. So thank you for forgiving me.
God, you are such a great God. And God, we just heard this morning Ruth Ann's beautiful testimony of how you raised her up, that you kept calling her. God, you kept pursuing her. You never left her. Never left her, God. You kept pursuing her. And she is a beautiful diamond. God, you have taken that dust and you're making it into a diamond. And we just want to praise and honor you. And God, yes, there is a war going on. And that war is going to get stronger and stronger. And God, we stand with Ruth Ann today. And with your power, God, we stand together. And God, we just lift her up to you today. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you will empower her more and more with your Holy Spirit. God, that she will know who she is. She will never forget that, who she is to you. And that you're always with her. And God, I just lift her up. We just pray against any kind of depression, any kind of attack that Satan is trying to do here. And God, we just want to honor you today for beautiful words about you and about what you have done in Ruth Ann's life. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you. Thank you that you love us. Thank you, Father God. Like Ruth Ann said, you never gave up on us, Lord. And I just praise you for that. Thank you that she is your beautiful daughter. No ugliness in what you make, Lord. She is just a beautiful daughter of yours. And Father, that you would direct her footsteps, Father God. So the righteous are directed by you, Lord. And Father, you will direct her footsteps. Thank you that all the time the enemy tried to snuff her out. He couldn't. And we just thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for that. Pray you just bless her. Raise her up. Raise her head, Father God. Lift her up to the highest in the name of Jesus. Give her words to speak forth, Father God, to the women and the men that she comes across in the name of Jesus. We thank you that it's all you, Lord. It's all you in the mighty name. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Morning. He has a word for this church, this body. And he also has a word for each person who is here this morning. That sign, New Beginnings, up there. But the Lord is saying, go home. Every morning, look in the mirror and say to yourself, because God is saying this to you, today is a new beginning. Today is the new beginning.
Jesus. Amen. Thank you, God. And I'm going to pray for Mark. And Pauline, I'm sorry about this, but I'm really feeling God is leading us to hear this message, you know, and it has to do with the new beginnings. and has to do with what Ruth Ann was saying. You know, there's hope. You know, some of you are going through some real struggles. There's hope, and that God can bring us into a new life, out of that addiction, out of that struggle, out of that sin, whatever it is. And I know there's a battle going on in here. That's okay. That's all right. I'm not worried about the battle. You're not worried about the battle. God's in control. And I'm sorry I'm putting Mark on the spot. I'm doing a lot of things I don't normally do. I'm putting Mark on the spot, but I know that he has a message about the righteousness of God. And we don't need to be real long. It can be 15 minutes, but tell us about who we are, our identity. Will you do that?
Yeah.
All right. Let's pray for Mark. So, God, I just believe that you have in your way here. We believe, Lord, that you're not going to, you're going to have your way. You are God. You're the Lord of this church. And we shout your name today, Yahweh, Yahweh, you are God. And we just want to be encouraged today by you and your word. We are the righteousness of God. And none of us can do it on our own. And all our works, everything we've done, it adds up to nothing. It's just filthy rags. Thank you, God, that you're faithful. And I just pray that this word from Brother Mark today will be encouraging. We want to hear from you, Jesus. Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, that's all right. Well, greetings, all my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus here. I was going to do this a week ago, but they were shorthanded at work, and they asked me to stay in for another week, so I stayed in for another week. And that extra week, God used me to share the gospel with a few other people at work, so there's more seeds were being planted. And especially, I was sharing with this other young man. And then he comes up to me the next day, we're talking. And he says, boy, I was talking to my two grandmothers. And I says, that's good. You got to love your grandmothers. Talk to your grandmothers. And he says, this one grandmother of mine, she's a Christian. And I'm just rejoicing inside. And I says, I bet you your grandmother was telling you how much she loves Jesus. And he goes, yeah. And I says, I bet you your grandmother was telling how much Jesus loves you. And he goes, yeah. And I'm just rejoicing. I'm going, Lord, man, the things you just ceased to amaze me. The things you are doing in this camp, there's about 170 men there. And the favor I have with God there, the favor I have with men, it just blows me away. Because whatever I do or say, it's for the glory of God. And the seeds that are being planted there, it's just absolutely amazing. And, But about the righteousness of God, hey? Man, that is so powerful of who we are in Christ Jesus, hey? And, man, like, our names, when we gave our heart to Jesus, you used that faith. You had faith, God-given faith. When you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, you used your faith to ask Jesus to come and live inside of you. And now you have the Spirit of God. You have God is living right inside your heart. And it is just... It is just absolutely amazing. And when you get in the second book of Corinthians in chapter 5, and you get in from 17 to the end of that chapter 5, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Like, we are in the royal family. We are kings and priests in Jesus Christ. Like, you are, when God looks at every single one of you, he looks at every one of us in a white robe. We're new in him. The old is absolutely gone. the right for what Christ, he took all your sin. He took every one of your sickness, every curse. He took it all on the cross. And it was nailed to him so that we would be set free and have the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus living inside of us. And man, it is just so amazing of who we are in Jesus and what we can do through Jesus. When we get into the Word of God, you meditate, and you, like the sister saying, when you speak the Word of God, you'll have exactly what you say. If you start complaining you're miserable, weak, and tired, you're going to be miserable, weak, and tired. If you start praising God for who you are, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If God is for me, who can be against me? No one. No one can harm you. The enemy comes to you and starts whispering in your ears about you, how worthless. You just say, wait a minute there, devil. I know about your future. You're going to be in the lake of fire, and that's where you're going. You're under my feet. I have all power and authority in the name of Jesus over you. I have the Father that sits at the throne that is interceding me for daily, and God always looks at me going, he's not guilty. He's the righteousness of God. That's my son. He's an heir of God in Christ Jesus, a joint heir with Jesus. You are the seed of Abraham, and you have every promise in the Word of God. He says, I've given you every single heavenly blessing. The heavenly realms is yours. And that's a guarantee. When you get in God's Word and you discover who you are in Christ and you start reading the Word and the promises, they are for you right now. Everything in that Word is for you because you are the righteousness of God. You're the apple of his eye. He looks at you. He doesn't look at you in shame. He says, there's my son. Look at him. Look at the armor. And when you read the Word of God, that is your armor. And no matter what you can do, that enemy, he can't harm you at all because he's under your feet. He's defeated. He was defeated at the cross. And there's nothing he can do to you because you are a king in the eyes of Jesus. You are a queen in the eye of Jesus. And no matter what happens, you have hope in him. He's your hope and your glory. And no one else can give that to you but him. And hallelujah. Yikes. And another, yeah, and also, yeah, you get into John chapter 10 here. And I'll tell you one thing. You get it? Yeah. Chapter 10, verse 25 to verse 29. He says, Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. And they shall never, never perish. The word never. You are never going to perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. God has us in his heart. We gave our life to Jesus. And no one can take that out of his hand. You are the righteousness of God. And he has made you into, well, you're a child of the living God Almighty. Hey? And he has given you, and no one can take you out of his hand. Like, you give your heart from Jesus, and that's permanent. No one. You can't lose your salvation. You were adopted by the Son of God. You were adopted as sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, and your salvation is guaranteed. No one. And if anybody ever tells you that you can lose your salvation, you tell Satan, get out of here. You drop down, because that is a lie from the enemy. That is a complete lie from the enemy. And Jesus, you're the righteous, like you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. His hands are on the cross. And his hands are open like this. Come to me. He's got his hands open. Come. And it's just like when Jesus, he was out in the desert for 40 days fasting. And he was tempted every way we were. And when he fasted for 40, he was defeating the flesh. And when we're going to do the suffering for Christ, it is the flesh, and it's the die to the flesh. And when you give yourselves to Jesus and you start following him and getting into the Word of God and you start memorizing scriptures, everyone should have a promise book. and start memorizing the scriptures. Put them on your mirror when you get up in the morning, in the bathroom, of who you are in Christ. Have them on your fridge. And just little words, scriptures that will come to you. Because the enemy, when you sow the word in you, the enemy's first job is to steal the word of God from you. That's the only thing he can do, is try to put doubt and thoughts in your head and try to steal the word of God from you. But when you get the sword, the armor, and you start speaking the word of God, he just flees. He can't do nothing. He just absolutely flees. Because the word of God just, boom. And it was like a vision I had there a while back. And I'm sleeping, and all of a sudden, there's the devil comes at me. He's got all these swords. And I'm looking, and all of a sudden, boom, there's my Bible, my sword, my armor. And boom, 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 and he just, boom, gone, just disintegrated, hey? Because that's the word of God. But anyways, when I was sharing about this, when I talked to Stan, I was at work, and I was doing a lot of praying up there at work. And I lost this thing, but oh well, yeah, there it is right here. Hey. But also, like, the word is the seed. And where am I going? I'm going into Peter here. Yeah, another scripture the Lord gave me, hey. And it says, I'll start with 1 Peter 17, and I'll go to the end of that chapter. It says, since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Amen and amen to that. And going back to the Gospel of John here, and it's in chapter 17, verses 23 and 24. And it's the love of the Father. And what he says right here, hey, I'll start at verse 22, chapter 17. He says, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. Like, God, he loves us just as much as Jesus. Like, it's when you get a revelation, like, wow. And the Lord loves me just as much as he loves Jesus. Look at, like, the love of the Father, what he has for us, and the things that we can do, and what he has called us to do is to shine our light and to grow in him. We were called to be transformed, have our hearts transformed into the likeness, into the fullness of Christ. That is our mission. Is to fight the good fight of faith and to take the love of Jesus, that wherever we go, they'll see the light and the love of Christ in you, and to draw others onto him and into the kingdom of the Lord God Almighty. And, oh man, this is, This is just absolutely amazing what God, like, what God is doing, like, right now, and what he's called every single one of us to do. He has a purpose for every single one of you. He has a mission, and he's given every single one. He has a plan, and the things that he has called every one of us to do, and who we are first is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are kings and priests in Christ. Like, you're in the royal family. You cannot be shaken. You cannot be taken away whatsoever at all, because in Christ Jesus, you are loved. You are one. We have him living inside of us. We live in him, and the kingdom of God is living of. And he wants us to take this kingdom of God and to share it with into the world, to go out and make disciples, to go out and to share the gospel, to heal the sick. He says he's not calling apostles or preachers. He's calling you and I to go lay the hands on the sick and to heal them. He's calling you to share the gospel with people, ordinary people. He doesn't use perfect people. He takes rejects, like all of us are a bunch of rejects here, who love Jesus, and hallelujah. And I don't care what people say or do. It's like when I'm at work and I get off work, have a shower, I'll spend time with God, I turn my phone to YouTube, and I'll start listening to Kenneth Copeland or Charles Capps or Bill Winston, and it just goes down the hallways, and hallelujah, I don't really care because the Word of God is going, and I'm in favor there, and everybody just looks at me, and they, why are you smiling? I says, well, it's Christ. It's Christ in me. That's why I'm so happy at work. And another thing. It's been almost a year since my mom went to be with the Lord. And it was December 19th, she went to be with the Lord. And I remember I was here, we were in a prayer meeting, I got a call from my sister. And my mom, she only had a few days to live, but I went out there. But through that experience, I just blows me away, because God had a plan there. I went and spent 3 weeks in Vancouver Island with my mom. And my family down there. But my mom, she just loved the Lord like you wouldn't believe. She'd be lying in bed, and I would say, Mom, you want to go talk to Jesus again? She said, sure, let's go talk to the Lord. I'd lay hands on her, hey, and then this great big glow would come upon her. And it was just absolutely amazing. And she's just praising God and thanking for her, the family, and thanking that she's a new creation in Christ Jesus. She thank you. She's thanking for the new mansion she's going to have in the heavens waiting for her, hey? And through all that, and through my sisters being there and getting to share the gospel with them. And then there was my mom was in a double room with another lady. And her name was Flossie, and she was 95 years old. And her family abandoned her. And then my mom's sleeping, and then Flossie, she's crying next door. Nobody loves her. And she's going on, and the Holy Spirit says, Mark, you go tell her how much I love her. I says, okay, Lord. So I went over there, and she's half deaf and half blind, and I put my arm around her. And I says, Flossie, you don't have to cry. God loves you. God sent me to tell you how much he loves you. And then she just started, she says, you know, are you an angel? I says, no, I'm a servant of the Lord. Just come to share how much Jesus loves you and that he died for you. And nobody ever shared the gospel with her. And she was 95 years old. And the next day she came to accept Jesus. And how God used that experience from being there. And my mom's sleeping. But there was a 95-year-old lady who came to know Christ. And who knows how much longer she had to live without knowing the Lord, hey? And how God can take every single one of us and puts us in different positions, hey? And I'll be at the mall, and I'll have a whole bunch of tracks, and the Lord will say, put a track on that table. I'll say, okay, Lord, I'll put a track on that table. Boom. Somebody walks by, grabs that track, starts reading it, sticks it in their back pocket, and walks away. Jeez, Lord, this, like, oh. Like, it's just absolutely amazing. But anyways, like, we're loved by the Father. He loves us just as much as Jesus. And when we're obedient and walking in the Word and walking with Jesus, It's just the implorable things, what he can do for you and what he can do for everyone and what's in your heart to show the love of Christ to one another. And I was, anyways, this is just kind of short notice, but anyways, God bless you all and praise God.
Mark, it was exactly the right word.
You say amen? That was exactly the right word, right? That's how God works. And I'm just sensing that, you know, that's the word that we need to hear today. Some of you guys, you know, that this is about reconciliation. And what Mark said, there's never a time when God isn't reaching out for you. He, you know, Ruth Ann's a perfect example of that. No one is a lost cause. Nobody. Nobody. And that we need to show mercy for each other, and we need to care for one another and share the love of Jesus, that Jesus loves you. One of the things I just really feel we need to do, and we're not very good at it, but let's get on our feet. Everyone stand up. We talked about shouting out the name of Jesus, and we're going to shout. We're going to give Jesus a shout. We're going to clap our hands and shout and praise him and thank him. And I don't need to count to three. We're just going to do it. Let's praise God right now. Say thank you, Jesus. Say hallelujah. A loud shout, Yahweh, Yahweh. Give him praise. Glorify his name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Give a few woo-hoo. Come on. Woo-hoo. All right. Hallelujah. Okay. Okay. Because if we can't get excited, you know, we can do that. We go to the Flames game or the Rebels. We're hoo-hooing all the time, right? Man, we should be excited about the Lordship of Christ. No, no. No, you need faith. No, I shouldn't say that. Mark is going to stay up here. You can see this guy's contagious. Some people, that little old lady thought that he was an angel. Well, maybe he's your angel today. I know he's willing to pray. And I'm going to ask Joyce to come back up, and Anita and Crystal, and Pauline, would you come up as well? Maybe this is, and our worship team, will you come up and do that Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh song again? Because we're going to just end on this note. Maybe this is just an opportunity for you to see the arms of Jesus. And he's reaching out. Do you see that? He's reaching out. There's something you need in your life today. Let me ask you that question. You've been struggling. It's been a hard time. You know that there's been a battle. I'm going to stand up here. Is that okay? So you can see me. You know there's been a battle, right? How many of you have been going through a battle just recently and you know it? All right. Let's just be honest about it, because the battle belongs to the Lord. And let me tell you this, too. We can talk about the future, and the future, it could be dark. But I'm going to tell you this. We're not going through that alone. Because no matter what happens in the future, I'm not afraid. And I'm not going to listen to fear. Because Jesus promised me, he promised you. You can come up for prayer anytime. Anytime you feel like you want to come for prayer while I'm talking, you just say, well, he's just rambling on anyways. But I want you to know this. Whatever you're afraid of, you don't need to be afraid. Amen? He said, I will never leave you. I'm not sending you out into battle alone. So whatever it is, you put your hand up, you said, yeah, I'm really struggling with something right now. There's some people here, and they're willing to pray with you. We want to be that kind of a church. We want to be that kind of a body where we care for each other. Amen? I'm going to pray. We're going to sing a song. I'm going to invite you that while that song is being sung, we're going to sing it not too loud. Just keep it quiet so we can just pray. That God can reach out. I want to tell you, or God wants to tell you, it's not hopeless. Some of you here today, you've been thinking this week that it's hopeless. I can never beat this. I can never beat this. I will never get where God wants me to be. Exactly what Ruth Ann was saying. Exactly. It is not hopeless. As long as there's a Jesus. And like Mark said, he loves us as much as he loves Jesus. There's hope for you. Just come today. Let people pray for you, and let's leave it with Jesus. Can we do that? Let me pray. God, you are God. There's no one like you. There are some of us here today, we just need to hear you say, whisper it in our ears, that you love me. You love me. And that there's hope. Thank you, Jesus, that you say, I am the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. You don't see me for what I've done or what I haven't done. You see me through Jesus and through Jesus' sacrifice. Thank you. We need hope. And some people here today, God, some of us are really struggling. It's been a hard time. We need to hear from you. Just need to hear from you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
I claim the mountains shake and crumble. At your name, the oceans roar and tumble. At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name. Filling all the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, O Lord.
Say amen to that.
In the name of Jesus. The morning breaks in glory.
He loves you. He loves you, James.
Your name. Sings a story.
At your name,
at your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Shout your name, O Lord.
Lord,
there is no one like our God.
We shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, O Lord. There's no one like our God.
There is no one like our God. We will praise you, there's no one like our God. We will sing, there is no one like our God. We will praise you, there's no one like our God. We will sing, there is no one like our God. We will praise you, there's no one like our God. We will sing, there is no one like our God. We will praise you, there's no one like our God. We will sing.
At your name, O Lord.
Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, O Lord. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, O Lord.
Sing it.
Lord of all the earth, we'll shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, O Lord.
Yes,
Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, O Lord.
Yahweh.
Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, O Lord.
Just receive this blessing from God today. Receive it. Let it penetrate your hearts that The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, and the Lord give you his peace. Can you receive that today?
Yes.
Let's stand up. Let's do that one more time. We need to receive this. Put your hands up to God. Lift up. Reach out to God. Reach up.
Reach for your daddy.
The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you.
Thank you, Lord.
The Lord lift up his countenance. That's his shining face.
Thank
the
you.
Lord lift up his countenance upon you.
Thank you, Jesus.
The Lord give you his peace. Can you say Yahweh?
Yahweh. When the world says no way, we say Yahweh.
Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, oh Lord. Lord of all the earth.
Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name. Filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, oh Lord.
Again.
Lord of all the earth, we'll shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, oh Lord.
There's no one like God.
Yahweh.
Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, oh Lord.
Just love your name, Jesus.
Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, oh Lord.
One more time.
Yahweh, Yahweh. We love to shout your name, oh Lord.